I'm speaking today with Linda Cohn, who is the voter registration chair for the League of Women Voters here in Houston. And I wanted to ask you a few questions regarding the current situation going on with the Harris County Tax Assessor's Office, Mr. Don Sumners. You are in receipt of a letter that Mr. Sumners sent to the League of Women Voters in November that said that he would need to end the traditional process that the League has done of having voter registrations done at naturalization ceremonies. Can you just very briefly recap what y'all do with these things and what the dispute is about?
Sure. For the last several years, we've been present at these naturalization ceremonies for the purpose of conducting an on-the-spot voter registration service for the new citizens. We are guests of the United States District Court. Naturalization ceremonies in Houston are conducted as a formal session of the United States District Court. And we are also guests of the United States Citizenship and Immigration Services. And what happens at the typical ceremony held at the M.L. Campbell Center, which is a large sports and conference center for the Aldine School District, about 1,500 petitioners will be sworn in as new citizens. They arrive at the center with their guests, so the typical crowd might be 5,000 people. It's a splendid occasion. It's just magnificent to be there and bear witness as America is reborn. It's a wonderful time. And we are so fortunate in that the Citizenship Service gives us 5 minutes at the end of the ceremony, during which we can rapidly distribute voter registration applications, and folks can fill them out on the spot. Because we're deputy volunteer voter registrars, as soon as that completed application is handed to us, that application is activated. So, as we're so fond of telling the new citizens, you leave here a new citizen and a new voter. It's a wonderful thing. Your very first act of citizenship is to embrace the franchise. And typically about 80% of those newly sworn will go ahead and register to vote this session literally within minutes of their oath.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So over the past 4 years, this is the present iteration of this program. In years gone by, we could not be in the auditorium, but we were able to negotiate this present iteration, and it's turned out quite nicely. So in the 4 years that this iteration of the program has been active, 63,080 individuals have become voters in just this fashion. That's about 80% of those naturalized in these ceremonies.
Now, in the letter Mr. Sumners sent you, he identified a couple of reasons why he was terminating this relationship, which began under Paul Bettencourt.
Yes.
He said, because of the high volume of voter registration applications, his office is going to be using barcoded voter registration applications, and, quote, outdated or Secretary of State voter registration applications will not be accepted.
The applications that we use are generated by the Texas Secretary of State. They are proper applications, and they deserve to be treated as proper good faith applications. The Texas Election Code specifies no duty to use barcodes. The question has to do with receipts. As deputy volunteer voter registrars, the Texas Election Code, it requires us to offer a receipt to each individual who registers with us. But in recognition of the high volume of registrants at naturalization ceremonies, and also in deference to crowd control issues, we can't create a bottleneck anywhere in the arena. We can't create a bottleneck along the M.L. Campbell Concourse when people receive their naturalization certificates. It would be unsafe to do so. In recognition of this, the Texas Department of Elections has instructed that the election code be interpreted this way. As long as an employee of the tax office is on hand to take immediate custody of the voter registration applications, no receipt is required. And I provided you with Elizabeth Wynn's affirmation. Elizabeth Wynn is counsel to the Department of Elections in Austin. I provided you with an email indicating that this is indeed the decision of the Department of Elections.
Okay, so basically,
Mr. Vasquez, during the Vasquez administration, and preceded applications were not common during the Betancourt administration, but this worked for him as well.
Okay, so just to recap, and basically the way you do it now is you after the new citizens are sworn in, you hand out all of these voter registration applications, and then they can like put them in a box on their way out as they see.
Actually, we collected from them.
Okay.
Have patches slung over our shoulders, and we collected from them. We also glanced at them. Believe it or not, it's common for people to forget to sign their application.
Okay.
It's common that they'll leave something out. These applications are freshly prepped. They're highlighted so that the required fields are readily visible to both the applicant and the person collecting the application. And also, this is rather charming, they're prepped with a little sticky note, a message of congratulations from the League of Women Voters and from the court.
Okay. What Mr. Summers is saying you need to do is, in addition to collecting them, you then have to stop and write a receipt for them to give to them.
Yes, which would be logistically impossible, and also it is an improper statement. I think I've shown you
right. That
we do not need to have those receipts as long as a tax office employee is on the premises to collect those applications and get them to the tax office for processing.
And he's also saying that he will no longer provide a tax office employee. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. It would amount to about an hour and a half per month of tax office time. We think that's a good investment.
And he's claiming that that's for budget reasons.
Yes, you have the copy of the letter in front of you.
Yes.
That's right.
And you say it's not that it wouldn't cost the tax office anything to continue to do this.
It would cost them about 1.5 hours, more likely. The travel time, I would say an hour. Let's be generous and say an hour and a half to 2 hours. So it would be about 22 hours per year, not more.
Okay. All right. The other issue that has been brought up as a result of this is because state of Texas, you know, falls under the purview of the Voting Rights Act and the Justice Department, it was not proper for Mr. Summers to make any change with respect to voting registration procedures without getting preclearance from the Justice Department. Is that correct?
That's correct, and Mr. Summers has since acknowledged that. The county attorney has stated that to Mr. Summers, and it's been acknowledged.
Okay, so in other words, because of that, he has, you know, his initial directive is no longer in force until
that's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. So that's one avenue of redress. Of course, the other avenue is a simple, we have to recognize this as an act of governance that may not be the wisest act of governance ever to come out of the tax office. We think that the tax office could rejoice in the opportunity to see these new citizens enter the electorate. We certainly do.
Okay. Do you have any idea how long the preclearance process might take?
It can take a while. It can take a good long while, maybe as long as 2 months.
And in the interim, the League of Women Voters, plans to work with Mr. Summers to try to come up with a mutually agreeable resolution, correct?
It is my informal understanding that the system as established will continue through December. I have not had direct confirmation of this from Mr. Summers, but informally I've been told that the tax office will continue to send a representative at least through the end of the year. I understand also, and again I have not been told this directly, this is what I've been able to call from media reports, that Mr. Summers is going to petition the Division of Elections in Austin to see if it will be possible to have a League of Women Voters representative, probably myself, take those applications down to the tax office, unreceipted applications down to the tax office.
To substitute for a tax office
employee. And that would be so agreeable. That's something that we proposed
okay. The
week before last, last week in our initial conversations.
So you're optimistic that there will be a mutually satisfactory resolution then?
I am optimistic that we will be able to provide our service at naturalization ceremonies, just as we have for the past 4 years. I am equally optimistic that the new citizens will be just as eager to vote as they always have been and will take advantage of our service just as they have over the past 4 years.
Okay. Linda Cohn, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
Thanks so much.